By the Win MFC podcast. Just after speaking to Mr. Les Hutchison, myself, Jay and Buster are recording a special episode of the podcast. It's basically to talk about the Aberdeen game, to preview the Hamilton Accies game, and also to reflect on the last hour we spent in the company of Mr. Hutchison. Guys, welcome along. You've not really left, so I don't really need to welcome you back. And I didn't actually welcome you to the first podcast, so in fact, I will say hello then.
Cheers, how you doing?
I stick this one in the front row, kid on me, went back and forward in a DeLorean or something.
So, the game against Aberdeen on Friday night, a 2-1 defeat, a very, very frustrating 2-1 defeat at that, leading 1-0 at half-time through a goal from Scott McDonald. Individual errors proved costly, Buster.
Definitely. The most annoying thing for me wasn't the fact that there was a couple of errors. Oh, a couple of errors that caused stupid goals. It was the marking at the first corner. It was absolutely atrocious. The big number five walked into the middle of the box. I think it was Lee Irwin, was just sort of watching the ball as it came towards him. And the boy basically just stepped in front of him and headed it at the goals. And then, you know, George Long made a good save, then panicked and punched into his own goals. But the most annoying thing about it was the fact he just seemed to walk in at the box and get a free header whenever he wanted.
Jay, I think as a measure of how far we have progressed in recent weeks, that we came away from Pittodrie frustrated at not taking anything from the game. But I suppose the overriding point is errors like that and mistakes like that will cause you to lose games, and that's basically why we are where we are in the league table just now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. I think that it does show you, just even just after 4 points against Inverness and Killie, suddenly we're coming away from Aberdeen disappointed that we didn't get all 3 points. That's just the nature of the beast. I suppose it's one of those things where, you know, you're going to be, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. I think I said last week in the podcast that I wasn't expecting anything. So if we went there and we put in a good performance and showed the same, at least the same sort of desire, at least starting to look as though we're still making progress, then I'd be happy. So I'd be a hypocrite if I said that I wasn't, you know, content with how things played out. I think we're still in a good position to see out the rest of the season. But you're right. I mean, it's one of those ones where when your luck's not in, these kind of go against you. Both goals were avoidable. And on another day, we could have ground out a 1-0 victory. But, you know, it wasn't to be. And again, if you go back a week, I think we would have been delighted to lose by one goal at Pittodrie. So it's a fine line.
As you said, though, Jay, it's one of those things where we weren't really expecting anything, so a good solid performance was all we were really looking for. But to come away disappointed that we didn't even manage a point because of two stupid mistakes just goes to show that, you know, we are maybe starting to do the right things at least.
Oh yeah, I think we've got the players, and I think if you're going to want to stay up, then you need to start setting the benchmark far higher than it's been this season. And that, if that means that you come away for Pittodrie disappointed that you didn't get something, then so be it. You can't go through the season. You're not going to get anywhere by simply saying, oh, well, we're in a relegation battle, so it doesn't really matter. But it's so close to you know, the sort of the slight turnaround that we've had in the last few weeks. I'm willing to kind of, you know, accept that it's happened. And hopefully, when we play on Friday night, we'll be in a far better position to actually see out maybe a 1-0 or a 1-0 victory, or maybe go on and score more goals for a change.
On a Saturday, Ross County battling back from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 at Hamilton. On the other hand, a more positive result coming out of Rugby Park, where Kilmarnock managed a 1-0 victory over St Mirren with a late Lee Miller goal. The kind of result of note, I guess, was Partick Thistle's 3-0 win at St Johnston. Suddenly, a week after looking that they perhaps were in the mire, they've pulled 9 points clear of ourselves. That brings us on to Friday night's game, another Friday night in BT Sport against Hamilton at Fir Park. Jay, this is certainly a winnable one, given that Accies haven't won under their new manager yet. Seem to be in a downward spiral. But they'll certainly take heart from the two league meetings this season.
Definitely, but I think we have to acknowledge that we are a completely different team for those two matches. I think not just in terms of personnel, but I think attitude. I think Barraclough is, again, as we said last week, not as quickly as we'd liked, but he seems to be getting the message across. We seem to be looking more confident, more motivated, playing better football, creating far more chances. So when you combine that with, as you said, Aki's sort of downfall or poor run of form, then you've really got to fancy your chances on Friday. And again, it just shows you just how quickly things can turn around. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, you would go on Steelman Online or Pie and Bovril, and there was Motherwell fans had basically said that that was us, we were going down. There was Motherwell fans talking about going round to the main stand after the Inverness game if we lost to protest and demand that Barraclough gets sacked like some lynch mob. And yet, here we are, just a matter of, you know, what, 3-4 games later, and suddenly we're sitting here talking about how we're probably, on paper, the favourites going into the game on Friday. And if we get a win, then, you know, we keep that momentum going, we keep that good feeling going, and then hopefully we can then carry that forward. But it just shows you how quickly things can turn around.
Buster, given that the international break comes after the Hamilton game on Friday, how important is it to get a positive result and not have to dwell on a defeat for the best part of 2 weeks following that game?
International break or not, I've been saying it every week basically, but a result is, you know, I think a win is vital, to be fair. You know, as you say, Partick Thistle have pulled away a wee bit. They've got a couple of hard games coming up. I think it's against the top three, to be fair, so I don't see them out of it as of yet, but, you know, we basically need to win. County are on a good run, as you says. So I don't know who they're playing, to be fair. Is it maybe St Mirren? Are they playing St Mirren soon?
Yeah, Buster, it's St Johnston against St Mirren, and Ross County play Kilmarnock.
Half your dues, just ignore me then, I'm making my own fixtures up. But, you know, it'd be good to see everybody else lose and us maybe pick up 3 points. You know, also, as you mentioned, it's on Friday night, BT Sports. This is what the Friday night fixtures were for, in my opinion. You know, two teams across the water, nice and easy to get to, and then they are through them up to Aberdeen, you know, 4 o'clock at work or whatever. But, you know, I think Friday night football could work as long as you keep it low.
Yeah, it's certainly one to look forward to.
It'll be a good game, I think, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at back in the last hour spent in the company of New Motherwell Football Club owner Les Hutchison, Jay, it was a very interesting conversation. I think there was plenty of interesting points put across, not all of which we agreed with, but certainly worthwhile and good to hear from the club owner speaking so positively about the future.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there'd be any point in doing it if there were things that we agreed on all the way through. I think that the whole point of having somebody like that on is to sort of question them on things or maybe disagree slightly. But I think there's a lot of things that Motherwell fans will take heart from and will be spurred on by. I think particularly the way he talks about the Welsh Society and the Trust, and he seems to have a lot of faith in them going forward, which is obviously encouraging. I did make the point in the podcast, the fact that his comments about holding on to players and not maybe selling them at the first hurdle, that will no doubt be a welcome news to a lot of Motherwell fans. There'll probably be a few things that a lot of Motherwell fans will maybe take issue with. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. I think that maybe the idea that, you know, it's only a tenner a month, you know, that's completely open to context. You know, there's a lot of people where I don't think £10 a month is just, you know, a little bit of money. I think a lot of people are still struggling in these kind of times. So I think there'll be a lot of things there that Motherwell fans will maybe agree with, maybe disagree with. But overall, it was a very interesting hour. And that's what you want, I suppose, from the podcast. You don't want everybody just sort of listening, mindlessly nodding their head. There's probably a few things in there that they might take umbrage with and a few things that they'll take confidence from.
Yeah, Buster, what was your take, especially interesting given that you're not a Welsh Society member? Is the last hour likely to have changed your views on how important it is to become a Welsh Society member?
Maybe not the last hour in particular, but in general, I think, you know, the Welsh Society is basically the only way forward. You know, I think that's abundantly clear, even when you're reading things that the Welsh Society are putting up. You know, what happens in so long if we don't raise this money? You know, and as Les says, you know, I think the club was a lot closer to doom than anybody ever imagined. It was just never really got out there from, you know, because everybody we speak to, which is another point, you know, the club, the chairman, the chairman now, actually, the chairman of the Welsh Society, you know, the general manager, Neil Les, they've all come on and have been very open, very willing to speak to us. So, you know, kudos to anyone on that. But I think it's kind of frightening when you hear them talk about just what sort of position we were in.
What I found slightly frustrating throughout the call was the conversation about it's all up to the fans. I've raised the point about it sometimes feeling like a closed door shop. Would you guys agree that we need to open the avenues to allow the supporters and the society to implement the changes that are required? It says it's very much open to new ideas, but I think that's all well and good, but your average supporter, we had a great opportunity tonight to speak to someone that doesn't do many press interviews. He's in Barbados until May now, so it's not as if it's just as easy as going up and chapping the door. Is there ways that we can improve? Communication's key, basically, isn't it? And we need to improve that and make the fans, and especially the people that are paying their Welsh Society money, feel like they're part of something.
Yeah, I think we do need to acknowledge the fact that, you know, we have had Brian McCarthy, Alan Burrows and now Les Hutchison on a podcast that only started 20 weeks ago. So our club, probably more than most, is, you know, open to communication. All three, I believe, have all said that they'd be happy to come on again. So it's obviously an avenue they're looking down. But I did agree wholeheartedly with your point. It's obviously two completely different perspectives. You know, we are three run-of-the-mill fans. We don't have a lot of money. We don't, you know, we go to the games that we can afford to go. We miss out on some away games because we can't afford it. We get a season ticket if we can afford it. We join the Welsh Society if we can afford it. So, you know, you're going to have that sort of difference in perspectives from someone who is a very successful individual. So I'm not sure whether, you know, there's quite the grasp there of maybe how difficult it has been as a fan to kind of feel as though you're involved in these conversations. I think that, although I was saying in the podcast that Motherwell, I think, have been particularly good in the last couple of years in terms of match day and encouraging fans to turn up, in the grand scheme of things, that's a very recent thing. So I think over the piece then, yeah, I would agree completely with you. I still think there is that kind of idea that you can't really go and change anything, or you can't really, you know, have your voice heard. Sometimes you might send an email in and you get no response. That still happens. You know, I noticed in Steelman Online there were some people who'd found out about something in the Welsh Society via Steelman Online, because even although they're Welsh Society members, they didn't get the email. So, you know, we've banged on about it for weeks. There still is a problem with communication. So, as much as I understand that Les was on the podcast to basically say, right, if you want the best for your club, you need to put the effort in. But we still have, you know, issues two ways. It's not as though everything's rosy on one side and the fans just need to now do their bit. It has to be a two-way thing. So I think that was one thing that I kind of, again, I don't think it was, you know, particularly deliberate from Les. I think it's just a different perspective. But I think for your average fan, or at least from my perspective, it kind of felt a little bit when you're at an away ground and you've spent a fortune to get there. You know, you're one of maybe 100 Motherwell fans and the home support are singing "What a Shitey Away Support" as though that's your problem. You know, nobody else is bothered turning up, but you've went there and yet you're getting the aggro for making the effort. So I kind of, you know, I got a little bit of feeling of that, but, you know, again, it's something that the club will hopefully work on going forward. And as I said, it has to be a two-way deal. It can't just be, you know, me going and finding a mate that wants to go to the Motherwell games. It has to be, they have to be encouraged to go. They have to feel as though they belong there. So it's not just quite as simple as I think that it maybe came across on the podcast.
I think as well, in my opinion, I'm a bit sort of 50-50 here, because in my opinion, basically what Les was saying was, he's there to help out. He's, you know, it's not up to him. Basically, he's the one in charge, if you want, at the moment. But it's our club. We need to do something about it. And But never minding, you know, the sort of joining the Welsh sides, the monies, things like that. It was when we were talking about the general ideas of how we can help out and things like that. I understand, you know, he wants us to get involved, us as in the fans, you know, the fan base as a whole, to get involved. But I don't know, to be honest with you, it's, as you say, it's one of those things where I can see what he's saying, but whether or not people have got time, whether or not the people at the club have got the time, because with all due respect to everybody, there's a fair amount of roasters in our support. And if you're upset with that, you're a roaster. You know, so I can understand what he's saying, but I don't know how it would work possibly, you know, if 2,000 people queued outside for a park on Friday night.
No, yeah, I mean, I mean, that's what I'm trying to be, you know, diplomatic. I understand what he's saying. That's what I keep saying about how it's two different perspectives. I don't want to make it seem as though, you know, we're recording a podcast when Les isn't here anymore, so we can sort of talk about him or anything like that. I think it is just that difference in perspective. I think that, you know, for your average Motherwell fan who's maybe got young kids and just can't afford the £10 a month or whatever it is, I just think that it's not quite as simple as it maybe came across. But again, I think that's just because, you know, you don't really get a conversation like this too often. You don't get three average Motherwell fans like we are talking to a highly successful businessman who's currently sitting in Barbados. So no, I think that is probably more the cause of any kind of misunderstandings rather than any, you know, genuine malice.
No, it's certainly not been a process where we record the podcast and then hang about to record another one just so we can say the things we were too scared to say, because I think we all put our points across as much as we possibly could. But looking at it as well, it was a fantastic opportunity, and we've got to thank those at the club that made it possible tonight, because as I say, 20 weeks ago when we started this, we certainly didn't think we would get to the stage where we were interviewing club employees, never mind the owner of the football club. That is great in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also it's not just the fact that they've been prepared to do it, it's the way that all three of them have done it. Particularly, I think Les, you know, he's sitting in Barbados. There's no real reason for him to, you know, have been in touch through email and got Skype ready and all that kind of thing. So, you know, he's actually, you know, there's obviously not a great deal of effort, but there's a bit of thought went into it to actually, you know, get to the opportunity of appearing on the podcast. And as I mentioned before, I think the fact that all three, you know, Alan Burrows, Brian McCaffrey and Les have all said that they would be more than welcome to come on again, I think shows that, you know, that they are open to communication. And I think all three podcasts have been really well received as well, which is obviously a really good thing.
Guys, I think we'll end it there, just a wee add-on so we could talk a bit about the weekend's game and also, as I say, can analyse what was a brilliant hour. You've been listening to the By the Min FC podcast. We'll be back next Monday for a review of the Accies game, some international break chat, and just whatever else is happening, really. Until then, thank you and good night.
Glad to see you, I had a funny dream and you were wearing funny shoes. You were going to a dance, you were dressed like a punk, but you were too young to remember. I'm happy for you, but now I know this hurt is poison, too sharp to be bent. I'm sitting on my empty bed, I'm on my empty bed at night, the fever grows, it's pounding, pounding. I'd rather be in Tokyo, I'd rather listen to Thin Lizzy and watch the Sunday Gang in Harajuku. There's something wrong with me, I'm a cuckoo. Was revealed and I was humming bad. I was